Amen. Good morning. Oh, that's such a nice greeting. And this is a full house. My goodness, Jamie's gone and we're having a party. This is awesome. So for those who don't know me, my name's Skylar Turek, and my husband Aaron and I have been attending Renew since about last July with our two littles, Lewis and Isabel. Unfortunately, they're not here this morning because my kids were sick all night long last night. So they're at home recuperating and cleaning. So we're originally from Eau Claire. We lived in Duluth for a while and completed a church planters residency program at the Duluth Vineyard Church. And I am so excited that Jamie offered the opportunity for me to share with this community today, because I love teaching about Jesus and I love helping followers of Jesus experience the kingdom of God here and now through the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, we are going to continue our teaching. We've been working through the book of John this year. For those who are new, we're in John 15 today. So as we turn there, we're going to read about the vine and the branches today. So I'm curious, how many people here have a garden? Raise of hands. Okay, I'm picking your brains later, because I am new to gardening. I really have been getting into like all the homesteading trend of things, right? Learning traditional skills like baking sourdough and getting into gardening and canning. But I have not yet, and I say yet because I am the queen of rabbit trails, I have not yet delved into the realm of fruit trees or plant propagation or effective pruning techniques. So when I read John 15, when I'm reading Jesus's parable about the vine and the branches, not a lot of it made sense to me. So I went down a huge rabbit hole of too many YouTube videos, which makes me think maybe I need to plant a vineyard. But we're going to break that down today. So Jesus often taught in parables. They were short stories or metaphors that taught with earthly things the things of the kingdom, the heavenly things by using earthly materials. And so in this passage, which will be up on the screen too if you don't have a Bible with you, in John 15, Jesus is teaching about our relationship with him by giving us this analogy for what this relationship is like. So John 15, starting in verse 9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you." Yeah, am I reading the right part? Yeah, I am, right? We're going to back up. Sorry. We want to start in verse 1. John 15, verse 1. You're probably thinking, that's not what is on the screen. Okay, Skylar, read the screen. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." There we go. "And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So because we don't all have grapevines growing near us and we're not all familiar with this idea of pruning, I would like to offer somewhat of a modern day parable by taking this same sort of metaphor, but using this lovely lamp. So what Jesus is talking about is our relationship with him is kind of like this lamp, right? It's a fine looking lamp. It's shiny. It's sturdy. There's nothing wrong with it except for the fact that it doesn't work. So I might as well just take this lamp and put it on the side of the road and get rid of it, because if it's not lighting up my house, what is it good for? It doesn't have purpose. I'm just living in the dark if my lamp doesn't work. And so I may try to change some external things about this lamp. I might try to change the light bulb and see if that fixes anything about my lamp, and it doesn't. I might think, well, this lamp is sort of modern. Maybe if I go back to the old traditional ways and make it look a little bit more lampy, will it work? It still doesn't work, even if I change everything externally about it. So how about if I just try harder? Like, it must be user error, simply like I am doing something wrong and it still doesn't work. It looks like it's plugged in, right? It like looks like it's plugged in, but until the lamp is actually plugged in here, should practice this part. There we go. That's anticlimactic. You know, the lamp lights up. And when the lamp lights up, then it has purpose. Then it has meaning.
Come on.
Hey. Okay. The lamp works. So the point here is that Jesus is saying, I am like the outlet, and you are the lamp. If you remain plugged into me and my power goes through you, then you'll shine a light. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain plugged into me, you're like a lamp that's broken and will be thrown out. If you stay with me and my spirit flows through you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, who is the source of all power, that you may shine a bright light, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So without being plugged in, the electricity cannot flow through the lamp to make the light shine, right? Just like the branch, unless it's connected to the vine, it will not produce fruit. And so what is this fruit that we hear about? What is this fruit that Jesus is talking about? Galatians 5 tells us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As image bearers of God and as followers of Jesus, our lives are meant to be marked by these traits. We are meant to show these characteristics as a reflection of who God is. If you need a bit of an assessment of how connected you are to the vine, just ask yourself some of these questions by going through the fruits of the Spirit. Like, how much joy do I exude when I show up to work on Monday morning? Or how much patience do I demonstrate when my kids are pulling on my pant leg, mom, 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 mom? Or how much self-control do I have when I really want to say that biting comment? Do I hold my tongue or do I just let it fly out? Developing these kinds of characteristics does not come from a place of striving or self-help. This kind of character is a primary result of our intimacy with the Father, which is actually really good news, because for me, it seems that the harder that I try to be self-controlled or patient, the worse I am at it. And science actually backs this up, right? If you tell yourself, I'm not going to eat that donut, I am not going to eat that donut, you're probably going to end up eating the donut, right? And so the fruit in our lives is actually a byproduct of a thriving, connected relationship with God. This interconnectedness, this I in you and you in me type of relationship with Jesus is the intimacy that he desires so that he can work in us and through us and develop this kind of godly character. But it requires a bit of vulnerability. It requires us to say, okay, God, search me, know me. And it requires us to seek God, to know him and better understand him. And this happens through a daily abiding in Christ. So the verse that we read from John says, if you remain in me and I remain in you. But in other translations, that word remain is actually abide, which I love that word, abide. Think of it like dwelling, to live with. What would it look like if we lived with Jesus? You know, I live with Aaron and he knows all the best and worst parts of me. Right? The people you live with, they know how cranky you are when you miss a meal. And they know what your morning breath smells like, right? Like, people who we live with, who we are close to, they know us in a more vulnerable and intimate way. And so Jesus says, come, abide with me. Be with me. I love how Pastor John Mark Comer describes discipleship. He talks about how in ancient Jewish culture, there was a rabbi a teacher, and followers would surround themselves around this teacher and follow him around and eat with him and drink with him and walk with him, learn from him. They spent a lot of time together. It wasn't an hour a week. It was a daily abiding. So John Mark says that discipleship is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did, which is just a beautiful reflection of our walk with Jesus also. Because the more we spend time with him, the more we look like him. The same is true with the people that you spend your time with in your day-to-day life. We end up looking and acting and talking a lot like our friends. We pick up on their characteristics. We pick up on their mannerisms. So Jesus came so that we may have life and have it to the fullest measure. And that life, what does it look like? It looks like a life that's full of love and joy and peace. Living a fruitful life brings glory to God because we can't produce this kind of life on our own. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We need help to do this. And sometimes in our culture, we don't love asking for help. We don't like to be vulnerable and admit that this is actually hard for us. But Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you an advocate, the Holy Spirit. So John 15:26 tells us, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit is like the electricity that flows from the Father through us as a result of our relationship with Jesus. And then our lives become a living testimony for who Jesus is. Because when others start to see the way that we love differently, the way that we seem to have more joy, or how patience and kindness just flow from us, or how when everything seems to be just like tragically falling apart in our lives, we still remain faithful, people take a closer look and think, well, what's going on? And that's our opportunity to testify and say, it's not me. I cannot do this by myself. It is Jesus living in me that allows me to have this abundant life. So to review my silly analogy up here, the lamp, that's us. That's you, it's me. We're the disciples, and we are plugged into the outlet that is Jesus. He is our access point to the source, and it is only through Jesus that we can access the source of true life, which is God. And when that power flows through us, that's when we start to experience true life. Or to return to that original biblical allegory, we are the branches, and Jesus is the vine. He's connected to the root, and the living water flows through us as long as we remain connected. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But isn't it true that sometimes we think, if I just had a different job, or if I made more money, that new car or a different wardrobe, maybe more Instagram followers would finally just make me feel fulfilled and satisfied and give me that life that I'm truly looking for? But when we spend our time like chasing after these other things, we just move further and further away from that source. This is why Jesus says that the kind of fruit that we'll produce when we're connected to him is the fruit that will last. Because it is very possible to experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness without God. It is. But it's not lasting. Because all these external things can be taken from you. Our wealth, our health, and our relationships can be gone in an instant. And when that happens, we're forced to evaluate, what's been giving me life? Is it the kind of life that lasts? And sometimes we're just tempted to try harder, right? Like, if I just work a little harder at this thing, it'll work for me. Or even we might try on some more spiritual things. Like if I just look like all the other Christians, if I just come to church every Sunday and listen to Christian radio, if I look the part, maybe things will start working out for me. And those are all good things. Don't get me wrong. We should be doing those things, but they don't give life. It's only authentic relationship with Jesus and with God the Father that gives life And at the end of the day, even being close to other disciples, being so close, being surrounded by other followers of Jesus, doesn't make you a disciple yourself. We have to give our own yes. We have to surrender our own heart to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I gave my heart to Jesus completely when I was 19. And growing up, my life looked rather shiny from the outside. Prom queen, dance team captain, straight A student. I was a lot like this lamp. Looked good from the outside, but on the inside, there was so much darkness. And my friends, family might have looked at me and said, yeah, her life is full of love and joy and peace. But internally, I was devastated by depression, anxiety, and extreme self-hatred. I was just like this lamp, missing something, missing this connection. And I thought if I just followed all the rules or said the right prayers, that my life would be just fine. But it wasn't working. Nothing was changing for me. I was still living in darkness. So I started seeking the things of the world, parties and boys and just more achievement, right? Like, I realized that the things of this world wouldn't fulfill me, and I realized that the law couldn't save me. It was only the love of the Father that could do that. And so I knew that I needed to surrender to love, but that turned out to be a lot more difficult than I thought it should have been, because I didn't feel lovable. And maybe some of you here today feel that way. Like, I'm just so ashamed of the things that I've done and the person that I am. I don't feel worthy of God's love, so I put up a lot of walls. What I learned is that abiding does not begin with rule-following obedience. That's part of it, but it does not start there. I love this quote from David Benner in his book, Surrender to Love. He says, "Those who surrender obey, but not all who obey surrender. It is quite easy to obey God for the wrong reasons. What God desires is submission of our heart and will, not simply compliance in our behavior." So let's turn again to that passage, what I mistakenly read you the first time, John 15, verses 9. Jesus continues and he says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, to love each other." So look at that passage, and what comes first? Is it obeying the command, or is it surrendering to love? Jesus starts and he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." We're loved first. But to stay in this loving relationship, we must keep Jesus' commands. He says, "If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love." And I think of this kind of like a marriage. We enter into this loving relationship with a person, and we commit to that person. We make vows and we submit to that loving relationship that asks us to stay. Don't stray. Don't go to other lovers. Stay with me. Abide with me. If we keep Jesus' commands, we remain in his love. Obeying comes from a place of abiding in love, and obeying leads to continued abiding. It makes this complete circuit. And remember that this obedience comes from a heart posture of surrender to the love that we have received. It's not a heavy burden. It's not duty or obligation. We obey because we trust what our Father has asked us to do is for our own good. And it's the way that we stay connected to him. And why do we do this? Well, Jesus tells us, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It's with joy that we obey Jesus, not out of duty or religious obligation, not because we have to, but because we want to. And so what exactly are the commands that we're to obey in order to live this life of love and overflowing with joy? It's verse 17. This is my command. Love each other. Loving each other, as it turns out, can be tough to do. People are really messy and complicated, and our hearts are extremely fickle. We can love someone out of our own strength for a while, but after that honeymoon wears off, or the friendship fades, or somebody wrongs you and you become angry, it becomes a lot more difficult to love. And so the power that we have to love other people has to come from the source, has to come from the one whose well never runs dry, who never runs out of love. It's he loving through me that allows me to obey the command. I cannot do it by myself. Apart from God, we can do nothing. We can't even love other people without his love flowing through us. I really like how John says this in 1 John 4:10. He says, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. Did you catch that? This is how we know that we are abiding in Christ. This is how we know that we are connected to the vine, that we are plugged in. He has given us of his Spirit. And through that Spirit, we shine light. We were made to be light. Matthew 5:14 tells us, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. And for some of us here today, that light is out. Maybe you've been trying to change all of the external things, but the matters of the heart have yet to be healed. Or maybe, you know, you've been coming to church for a while, but have never fully surrendered your whole life to Jesus. There's things that you're keeping walled off that you don't want him to see. Perhaps there's a deeper surrender that needs to happen to God's great love for you. Maybe it just hasn't clicked yet, like you haven't fully grasped how deeply loved you are. And there's some of us here today who have experienced the connection that we're talking about, but we've drifted. We've drifted away, and we want to experience that real, true, abundant life again. And others of us, we are plugged in. We are connected to the vine, but we're hungry for deeper connection. We want our roots to go so deep. We want more of the Holy Spirit's power in our love, in our life, and to help us love people deeply and to empower us for ministry or the work that we're doing out in the world. So if any of that resonates with you, if you're just wanting more connection, more intimacy, true life, and you're tired of running away and you're tired of the darkness, I'm going to ask this church to do something that's bold and not part of our church's culture usually. And it may feel uncomfortable, and that's okay. Because when we start to live life in the Spirit, it can feel a little bit uncomfortable. One of my favorite leaders says that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And so for you, if any of those statements resonated, if you're looking to say yes to Jesus' invitation today, I just am going to ask you to stand up. We're not going to do anything weird. I just want you to say yes with your body because we worship God with our whole bodies. We are embodied spirits. We don't just worship him up here. We worship him with our whole selves. And so if that's you, and truthfully, it should be all of us, because if you're not wanting deeper connection with God, what are we doing? What are we doing here? So just stand up in your right where you are, and we're going to soon lead into a time of worship. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want you. We want you. We want deeper connection with you, Lord. We surrender our lives to you, Jesus, because it's only through your power that we have life. It's why we're all here today. It's why we're here. We're saying yes to you, Jesus. So would you come? Would you work in our hearts? Would you move through our lives? Help us to more deeply surrender to you, God. There's another quote by David Benner that I want to read before we move into this time of worship together. The English word surrender carries the implication of putting one's full weight on someone or something. It involves letting go, a release of effort, tension, and fear. And it involves trust. One cannot let go of self-dependence and transfer dependence to someone else without trust. Floating is a good illustration of this, because you cannot float until you let go. So as we sing this song together, I'm going to ask you to do another weird thing, something that may not be something that you're used to, but because we're embodied spirits and we're worshiping God with our whole selves, with a heart of surrender today, I'm going to invite you to raise your hands while we worship and envision yourself just falling back into the loving arms of God, to float, to just be held today, to just lay down the burdens that you brought with you and just let yourself experience what it feels like to be held in the loving arms of a good Father. So I'll pray and we'll continue to worship. Holy Spirit, would you come? Plug us in. Fill us with your life, Jesus. Do what only you can do that we cannot do apart from you, Lord. Fill our lives with love and joy. We say no to the burdens of depression and no to anxiety today, Lord. Fill us with your peace. Just bring your healing presence here now, Jesus. Let us bask in it. Embrace it. Enjoy it. It's a joy to serve you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for the work that you're doing in all of these lives here today. I bless it and ask that it would continue. Be with us here, Jesus, as we worship you. We love you. Amen.